This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. What would you ask Jesus if he was to visit your home today? Many of us have unanswered questions that we want Jesus to explain to us. Stay with us today as we look at the story of that exact thing happening to a pair of sisters and how we can also find answers to questions that frequently plague us.
We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have the opportunity to come into your presence and to hear what you have to say to us. That you went into the home of Mary and Martha and were delighted to see that Mary was sitting at your feet. For you had much to tell them, and you wanted her to hear it. Grant, O God, that we may understand that you have ears that are anxious to hear of our anxieties and our confession of sin. And so, Lord, give us the grace to learn what happened 2,000 years ago when you sat there in her home, and that you sit in our homes today as we open our scriptures and say, speak to us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, today our text tells us about Jesus living with Martha and Mary briefly in their home. They had invited him to come and to stay and visit with them. And so Martha was making great plans for a large crowd of people who would want to come and just listen to what the Master was saying to them. Mary sat at his feet. Martha was out in the kitchen or about the house somewhere, getting ready for this great event, until finally she came in and said to Jesus, "Don't you think that my sister should help me. And it was that Jesus offered these great words, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so the discussion between the three of them ended, and Martha went out in the kitchen and did her work, and Mary sat and listened. It was such an honor to have Jesus visit them in their home. And therefore, they didn't want to waste a minute of it, and yet they wanted to give him great hospitality. We often say, when I get to heaven, I'll have many questions to ask Jesus. I imagine that's just something that we think, well, if that is a possibility, certainly we're going to make use of it and find out some of the answers to the questions that really bother us. What do you think that Jesus and Mary were talking about that made them so involved in this conversation that they simply did not want to break away for anything? I don't know. Nobody knows. But I asked this question to some of the people where I live one evening around a dinner table where four of us were present, and all four are committed Christians. I asked them, what would you have said had Jesus come physically into your house and you could have a conversation with him? One lady, very committed in her faith and a lovely person, said, I would like to have a few words with him about what appears to me to be not quite fair in this life. I have a daughter and her husband, and they are unemployed. They have looked everywhere in our community and elsewhere to find work, and theirs has not been successful. What do you make of this? That here is somebody who doesn't go to church, who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ necessarily, at least if he does, he makes no confession of it. Why is the unbeliever treated better than the believer? I can't figure that out. Well, I'm sure that Jesus would have a word. And then probably would bounce back with some questions. Tell me, Mary, where I have ever said that being a follower of mine would be easy. Show me in my messages that have come your way what there is there that says that because your loved ones are believers in me, they should have it easier than someone who is not a believer. Christianity is not of that particular type of thinking. But I understand, because our loved ones are very close to us, and we don't like to see them hurting. And so let me give you a couple of helpings that will be good for him to pursue. Now, I don't know if he said that, if he would have said that or not. But we have to ponder, what are some of these things that we really want to ask Jesus? And has he answered them already, and we simply do not want to take the answers? I don't know. Well, you could see that the discussion could have gone on for a long time. Then the morning after that discussion, a lady came to do some housework in our apartment, and she is also a very outward confessing Christian. So I said to her, what would you say if Jesus had come to your house? She said she was a little bit more philosophical, but she said, I would ask the question as to what Jesus was trying to do with her in her being a servant of his. She would like to know what her work was according to the will of God, that she could be just a little bit better servant. She was not of the opinion that she was doing all that the Lord wanted her to do, and maybe he could help her out so that she could do more. So that discussion went on for a while, and then finally she said, I have to get to work. But those discussions of that kind, discussions that can really last a long time, and that's what was happening with Jesus and Mary in their home. We realize that there are Bible passages that we understand in part, but not completely. Now, I have a couple of Bible passages that I would like to throw out. And if Jesus were in my home, I'd say, Lord, give me some insight on this. I've read them over and over again. I've preached on them over and over again. I've read commentary after commentary and commentary. But I still would like to hear just a little bit more from you. Now, here is one of them. You said, and John picked it up and recorded it in his gospel. It's John 8:32. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What do you mean, Jesus, by saying, if you abide, you will know the truth? What is the truth? Now, I seek to read my Bible on a regular basis, and I know that I understand some of the basics of the Christian faith, that I am a sinner, and that Jesus Christ has come into this world, the Son of God and the Son of Man, and he suffered and died as a payment for my sins and for the sins of all people, and claim anyone as his child if they are believers in him. I know that. That's the truth. And I also have experienced and realize it every day that that truth is going to set me free. But will there be something more that I'll have if I just could get in contact with you physically speaking, like Mary and Martha had that opportunity to do? And I guess we have to wait until we get to heaven. And then we'll perhaps know a lot more about some of these mysteries that right now do not necessarily tempt us to unbelief, but really causes us to wonder if something else should be added that we can give a clearer presentation of your ministry among us. Here is another one. Jesus had been in Bethany other times, and at this time, there is recorded in the Gospel of St. John a few words that when he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And the people felt terrible because Lazarus was a great man of God. So they went out to the tomb where they had placed him. And Jesus said to him, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man was awakened, and he came out. Now, when Jesus watched these people before Lazarus was resurrected and saw how sad they were that this brother in Christ had been dead for 4 days and evidently was not going to be among them. And so they were weeping. And here, John catches it as he looks over and sees our Lord, and he puts it into the gospel. Jesus wept. My question to Jesus would be, I know, Lord, that you love us, but you are the Son of God and can do anything. Why did you weep? Was it because you saw the sorrow that they had over his death, and you were sorrowing for that broken heart that was around him. Does your love for us show some emotion in this sense of the word? That draws me just a little bit closer to you, because then you know when I really hurt, and you hurt with me. And when I can weep, then you can weep also. We'll not know that while we're here on this earth, I'm sure. But it's a question that I'd like to ask Jesus someday when I sit in his presence and he tells me all of these things. Now, can we know any more than we do know while we're here on this earth? Yes, we can. We are to be students of the Word of God. We are to study that Bible, tear it apart, find out what the commentators, who have a great deal of theological education, have to say about it. We learn from one another. We can go and be with our fellow believers. I am a great believer in organized Bible studies in the church. I think if I were to go back into the parish, I would try to have at least 50 Bible studies going on at a time. Seven or 10 people, some of them not having a faith yet, but have joined the church. We have many of those. Others of them very staunch in the faith and can help them. We could have quite a discussion, long discussions, on that. What's going to happen to me if I die and I'm not a believer in Christ? Well, all we know is what Jesus has said, that only those who trust him are going to be with him in heaven. He has said that so very, very clearly in John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now today, that's a passage of scripture that some people want to just throw out of their Bible. You know, this pick and choose type of thing. And they want every religion to be a way into the kingdom of God. The Bible says just the opposite from this. Now, Lord, can you help me a little bit? Well, maybe there are some insights that we get from other people who have had experiences with death and bedside conversions and all the rest that goes along with it. Men who and women who at one time were very, very outspoken in this matter that anyone would be lost. But as they draw close to that day, they understand that Jesus has taught differently, and they want to be in heaven. Or we can take our own experiences, not just what we have learned from the Bible, but where we have seen that Christ has been so very, very close, and he has really lifted us up. I know I repeat this quite often because it's still very new and hurting a lot in my heart. When I stood and beside her bed with her body in my arms and watched my wife breathe her last breath, I knew that she was going to heaven. And I also knew that I was not going to have her anymore. And so I thanked her for all that she had done for me and the family, blessed her, and then we shared some passages of scripture together. As I did that, she looked into my faith. Whether she had understood it or not, I do not know. But suddenly her breathing got less and less. And then our daughter, who was a doctor, checked her over and she says, "Now mother has gone to be with Jesus." She had gone. I had watched many people die in my work, but there was something just a little bit different because she was mine. You'll sense that too, I'm sure. That does not make yours any less. is the same for you as it is for me. But I could see that right there in my very presence, she had left this world to go home to be with the Lord. What do you do about it? You accept it. That night, we said a word of prayer together before we went home. We knew that our mother and wife was in the hands of the Lord, and we were going on to our own homes, and we would seek there to continue to trust Jesus and to live for him until that hour that we could join her. That's a whole experience. You don't get that in a theological seminary. They can't give it to you. They would if they could. They can't. It's something between you and the Lord. But thank God that we have those experiences, and to share this is also very necessary, because in the sharing of it, maybe you can get somebody to say, well, I better take another look at this and really see where I am. What would happen if I breathed my last? What will my deathbed experience be? Anger? Will it be that I got cheated out of a few years that I could have lived if the doctor hadn't made a mistake or something had happened? We don't have all the answers, people, but we're seeking them. We seek them first from the Lord Jesus himself as he speaks to us through the Word of God. We go to Bible studies in our churches or wherever it may be, and we ponder these great words that are absolutely true, but we need more light, and somebody might have that light. We have our own experiences, and we can only say, I know this is true. This is what happened when my wife or my husband or my son or daughter had this experience, and Jesus Christ was present there. Remember, Paul didn't have all of the answers either. At least he didn't say he did. Because in that wonderful passage of Scripture, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, along to the very end, these are his words. Now I see in a mirror dimly, but then when I'm in the presence of Christ, I will see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall fully understand, even as I have been fully understood. And that's what the Lord Jesus has to say to us today, in our homes or wherever he meets us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we know that life is short. Years go by one after the other. But we know that if we die trusting in Jesus, there is an eternity ahead of us. In a heaven where there is no suffering, no death, no sin. In a heaven where we can really and truly rejoice as we live there with the Lord. Thanks for keeping some of this a mystery, so we'll have something that causes us to look forward and wonder what are the answers. For the answers that you have given to us while we walk here on this earth, in good days and bad days, we thank you. There we find our comfort and say with the psalmist, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But God, we thank you. When it's all over and we're in our heavenly home, there will be no secrets. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you to know where to find answers to the problems that weigh upon our minds in this life. Many of our listeners are surprised to learn that our ministry must purchase radio airtime in order to broadcast on each station. Through your gifts and your prayers, you become a partner in carrying out our mission, which is to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. Now, if you're able to help with the ongoing costs of producing this program, please write to us today and let us know on which station you listen. And if you're in a position to do so, please consider sending a financial gift as well. Please address your letters and gifts of support to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. We praise God for your gifts and prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or call our toll-free telephone number at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. We're happy you chose to worship with us today, and we pray that you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders is now in its 77th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.